First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome along. Monday night, we do talk the world of tennis. Brett Phillips with you. Happy to take your calls tonight. Another big week on the tour. Plenty happening domestically. 1-300-736-736. Or you can get us on the Tennis Direct text, 0433-98-1116. Australia's favourite online tennis store. They've got fast delivery, magnificent prices, free delivery on orders if you get over $150. Just go to their website, tennisdirect.com.au right now. First Serve listeners can get a 10% discount store-wide. So 1-300-736-736. Plenty in the prize cabinet tonight, Mickey, haven't we? We have got a lot, thanks to Sunbless Sunscreens, their First Serve tennis sunscreen. We have to give away, designed specifically for tennis. You can order yours at sunblesssunscreens.com.au using the discount code SEN. Also, thanks to Australia's hype sneaker label Athletican, available exclusively online at athletikan.com. Use the discount code FIRSTSERVE15 for 15% off your choice of a pair of sneakers to the value of $129. So get involved with us, 1-300-736-736 or on the text 0433-98-1116. How good is it to walk in tonight when an Australian has won on the tour? And it was Astra Sharma who got the job done earlier today. We're going to hear from Astra in just a moment. What a win for the Western Australian. She's very likeable, probably one of the most articulate, well-spoken young people that I've come across in tennis. I caught up with Astra at Wimbledon 2 years ago. When you have a 23-year-old who describes Wimbledon and throws in the word pomp, it's almost like she was 23 going on 43. But her tennis over the last week has given us a bit of optimism because we've got a number of young Australian female players who have got potential. And I put a little asterisk next to Astra Sharma. I put one next to Storm Sanders because they're the two this year that could maybe leapfrog quite a few. 2-6, 7-5, 6-1, the sixth different player this season to win their first title. She gets past the top seed, Ons Jabeur, who had a terrific week. She was also aiming to win her first title, the Tunisian. Second final, of course, for Astra after she lost in Bogodar a couple of years ago to Amanda Anisimova, the American. Won 61% of return points in that final set to complete a magnificent turnaround, a love service hold to finish. And if you think about her week, she defeated Zhang from China in the first round, 6-4, 6-2. Madison Brengel, that was an extraordinary match. I actually couldn't look at one stage. 6-4, 4-6, 7-5. So she had the game in her safe keeping, 4-1 up in the second. Then she was 1-4 down and gone on the canvas in the deciding set and somehow came back and won 7-5. Then she takes on this really impressive 15-year-old, 15 if you don't mind, Fruvratova from the Czech Republic, who's gone up to 361 in the world already at just the age of 15, got past her, and then defeated the lady with four names, Maria Camila Osorio Serrano, from Colombia, who won the previous week on the WTA Tour. She's already at 117 in the world at just 19, and she got past her and then got past Ons Jabeur. Let's have a listen to Astra Sharma, who spoke post-match today. It was worth getting up to watch the Western Australian win her first WTA title.
From Vanderbilt University, an NCAA star, and now you're holding your very first WTA singles title. So come up and get that trophy, and we would love to hear from you. Very well deserved, Astra, and now we'd love to hear a few words from the Aussie.
Firstly, thank you to MUSC Health and Charleston Tennis. This has been an amazing event. I've really enjoyed playing here. I want to say thank you to all the physios, especially Lisa and Anna, who have been, as you can see, patching me up every day with these really complex tape jobs. I haven't made their life easy, so thank you. I'd like to thank my team behind the scenes who couldn't be here, but thank you to Cliff, Jen, and special mention to Jeff McDonald, my coach, who has believed in me from day one. And thank you so much. This is for you. I'd like to thank the tournament staff, everyone from transport, food, practice court bookings. This week has been so easy to play here. It's just been unreal. Again, special mention to Ben and Ada, who actually warmed me up for my match today. Thank you so much. I was really not in a good spot if they didn't help me like that. So thank you for going above and beyond. And lastly, thank you to my friends and family all over the world who have been watching me, my parents, my poor parents, waking up at 2 a.m. to follow. And I'm just so grateful for all the love and support everyone has shown me these last few days and weeks, and really my whole career. And I can't thank you every day, but I can thank you right now with this one opportunity so far. So thank you again.
Indeed. Well spoken, Astra Sharma, articulate. Just a really popular figure at any tournament she goes to, and it was a great week for Astra. Just on an Australian note of that tournament, back-to-back weeks in Charleston, of course. Isla Tomljanović, who I've got to say just frustrates me, to be totally honest. She ended up losing to this young 18-year-old from Denmark who's been a winner on the WTA Tour this year, Clara Towson, who is going to be a star. Had to retire, unfortunately, against Osorio Serrano there in the quarterfinals, but gee, Isla could have gone a lot deeper. Hasn't made a quarterfinal at a WTA event, I think, for about 2 or 3 years now. Storm Sanders, we've written a little piece on thefirstserve.com.au today. She's tracking beautifully, up to about 165 in the rankings. So the growth has been there this year. Not her week last week, but, of course, teamed up with Ellen Perez, so a runner-up in the doubles of that particular tournament. So that is Astra Sharma. Well done to Astra. We are going to catch up with her during the week. The time difference made it a little hard to get her on the show live tonight. We will certainly catch up with her via the wonderful Zoom technology that we've become used to in the past 12 to 18 months. And we'll have that on all our socials during the week. So make sure you're following us on either Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. And we'll bring a bit of that on the show next Monday night. So that is a great result for Astra Sharma. Just before we go to your calls, let's touch on Monte Carlo first. Stefanos Tsitsipas wins Monte Carlo. What a week. I watched a lot of Monte Carlo. It's hard. It's a bit like watching the Tour de France. I mean, you could sit down and just watch this tournament and be captivated by the view. The Mediterranean on one side, the hills on the other side. The Monte Carlo Country Club, one of the most picturesque, if not the most picturesque, tennis setting on the tour. No crowds, which was totally bizarre because they get great attendance. But Prince Albert was there in the Royal Box today watching on. He was there for the presentation ceremony. This is going to become a great rivalry, I think, Tsitsipas and Rublev. He's just gone ahead the Greek 4-3. Their matches have generally been titanic struggles. Today was pretty straightforward for Stefanos, winning comfortably 6-3, 6-3. Let's have a quick listen as he wins, well, his second most prestigious tournament after the ATP Finals a couple of years ago.
Stefanos, it feels like you've been building towards this moment for a very long time. It's a first Masters 1000 title. What does it mean to you, this moment?
An unbelievable week in Monte Carlo, and I can't describe the feelings right now. I'm overwhelmed by so many different emotions and nostalgia. It's incredible that I'm able to be in the position I am, and I think we both deserve being in the final and put out an amazing fight, an amazing show for the few people that came to watch. But just generally, like, I would consider it as the week of my life so far.
Yeah, you and Andre are the only players on tour with more than 20 wins between you. How well is he playing out there today, and how tough is he to beat these days?
I knew he was going to be a very difficult opponent to face, and there was a lot of nerves coming into that match. I've played him in the past. You know, we always want to bring the best out of us when facing each other. So playing Andre was a very difficult thing to do today, considering also that it was a final, and, you know, I think there's extra stress and extra importance in the match that we had to play. So definitely just proud of the way I managed to to behave and be out on the court today.
Yeah, and it obviously gets that first Masters 1000 title under your belt, gives you a massive boost, doesn't it, as we get into this really busy clay court swing now?
Of course, clay court season couldn't start better, and it's the best thing right now, winning my first Masters 1000, and it's even more special doing it here on home soil, Monte Carlo, and doing it on clay, which is my favourite surface.
Well done. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
We like listening to Stefanos Tsitsipas. He's got a wise head on those very young shoulders. A week where Andrei Rublev knocked over Rafael Nadal. He's admired Nadal from a distance for a long time, so that was a big tick. You feel like he's going to win a Masters 1000 possibly this year, Rublev. The best performed of the men, 24-5, the win-loss. Tsitsipas closing the gap, 22-5, the win-loss. Medvedev, of course, a tough week with contracting COVID. 17-3. And Dan Evans is the other story of Monte Carlo. He's hardly won a game on clay. Paul Aitken, if you're listening in tonight, you are an unabashed fan of Dan Evans, the former bad boy of British tennis, more known for dust-ups off the tennis court. He got his act together. He was suspended for 12 months, as we know. He's come back no ranking about 2.5 years ago. Right now, he sits at world number 26, and he knocked out the world number one Novak Djokovic during the week. It was extraordinary. He plays such an appealing brand of tennis, Dan. He chips, he slices, his court coverage is terrific. So runner-up in the doubles as well. Dan Evans, it's been an incredible recovery for a guy that has done a lot of great things in the last 2 years. 1-300-736-736. I did want to just jump on a call here with Michael Sexton, who's involved and sent me an email a number of weeks ago, of course, with a tennis club here in Melbourne, St Monica's Moonee Ponds. Michael, really appreciate you coming on the First Serve tonight.
No worries, Brett. Thanks for getting back to me, and appreciate the prize that I won. The tennis racket's getting a pounding.
So. Beautiful. Hitting them nicely out of the strings.
Yes, thanks.
Very good. You did send me some correspondence a few weeks ago. It's been a tough year, 2020, obviously, for a lot of clubs. Tennis clubs are shutting down. St Monica's are part of the North Suburban Junior Tennis Association, massive club here in Melbourne. Can you just give us a little snapshot, Michael, of how the numbers have been this year and on the back of last year when many couldn't actually pick up a racket?
Yeah, Brett. So I basically just sent you that email just to say, you know, maybe a good topic worth discussing, just the drop off in numbers. And our club's just a small club in a very large association. And like our club went from 7 teams down to 5 teams, which, you know, it doesn't seem like a big drop, but still that's, you know, probably 15 kids that aren't playing tennis anymore. There's some other big clubs that went from, and I won't name them, but they went from 14 teams to 8 teams and 13 teams to 7 teams. I actually did the numbers. So in the first season in 2020, so we have two seasons, you know, one in the first half, one in the second half of the year. So the first season of 2020, which got cut off halfway through, but there was 316 teams in the association. And season two obviously didn't get going. And then this year, there's 280 teams. So that's a drop of 36 teams and equates to about 250 players. That's 250 kids that are no longer playing tennis.
Okay.
What are the reasons? I don't know. It could be financial. You know, people went through a lot of hard times. We're obviously in this area. We're close to the airport. There could be parents that are, you know, worked in the airline industry, and they may not be able to afford to do it. Kids just, you know, seem to drop off and not get back into it. But it's just, yeah, to think the 250 kids that were playing a year ago are no longer playing. I'm not sure what can be done to try and get them back, but hopefully something.
Okay, so we had that sort of correspondence back a month and a couple, I think it was almost a couple of months ago. So has that improved at all since we had that correspondence?
Well, I'll be able to tell you in a few weeks because we'll be asking for who's playing in season two, rightio? So we'll be starting to put teams in for season two.
Yep.
And yeah, hopefully that some of them come back, but you know, and a lot of things, once they stop, it's hard to get them back. So we're hoping that, you know, we can, well, one of the things we're hoping to is to at least get a new team in and hope that, you know, some of the new ones coming through, that they're looking for something to do, that will start from the bottom again and build the teams up again. But some of the top teams,
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, but we'll know more in a few weeks when we start trying to put teams together for next season.
Anything Tennis Victoria can do here to help the cause?
Well, I suppose that Tennis Victoria are quite good in helping with, you know, if there's open days and things like that you want to promote. And that's the thing that our club's looking at doing is, you know, we're working with our coach and we actually happen to be part of a school. So, you know, they're doing promotions with that. The school uses the courts for different tournaments and that. So, yeah, we're trying our hardest to try and, you know, market it as much as we can. But unfortunately, and, you know, tennis isn't the only sport. I know it's happened to lots of other sports where that's the case.
Yep.
I know one big area, and you may know, I know you've been involved with a football club, but umpiring has dropped off dramatically in, you know, leagues are finding it hard. So I think it's an overall thing. But I just thought with tennis, with 250 kids, and that's just one association, you know, in Victoria, how many kids are there that are no longer playing tennis?
Yeah, no, really, really tough situation. Hey, Michael, we'll keep in touch on this one. Really appreciate you having the chat.
No worries, Brett. Thanks for getting in touch.
Good on you, Michael. Thank you for that. Let's go to John in Kensington. John, welcome to the First Serve.
How are you, mate? Yeah, good, mate. I've been watching. As you know, I'm an unabashed Sinner fan, and I believe he'll be number one day. But I was watching. I was really interested to see how he'd come back after he lost the final to Hercats in Miami, which I thought he should have won. But I thought he was a shoo-in to win that, to be honest. But I just think he's the type of player that goes for it no matter what, and that's a really good quality to have. But sometimes it goes against you. But, as you know, Clay's his favourite server, so I was really interested to see his second round, how he'd go against Djokovic. And I must say, I watched that whole match, and I've never seen Docker play as good on clay as he did against Sinner, because Sinner really took it up to him, broke him and three times, and he played really, really well. So I really thought after he beat Sinner like that he was going to go on and win it. And then, amazingly, I saw him play, and he admitted it himself, that's the worst game he's ever played against Dan Evans on clay. You know, it was just such a form reversal for a number one. You know, I've never seen Djokovic go down like that, like he did against Evans, you know. I thought Evans did well, but I thought Djokovic played terrible in that match, considering how well he played to Sinner, because I was really looking forward. I'll tell you what my aim was, to see Sinner go up against Tsitsipas, who he's beaten many times a couple of times on clay.
Would have been a great matchup. Hey, John, thank you. Sinner, I mean, he ran into Djokovic first match back since the Australian Open, so he was primed and ready to go, Novak, on home soil, as many players call Monte Carlo, the tax haven for so many, not just tennis players. So probably the wrong time to get Djokovic, but losing to Evans, although Stefanos Tsitsipas not buying into the injury card, or not feeling so well card that Novak landed. Paul Aitken, you are listening tonight. Never jumped off the Evans bandwagon. He brings something different. His backhand slice was masterful against Djokovic. It was. He is different. We love a point of difference. Thank you, PA. Nice work by you. Zach on the Tennis Direct text, how far can Astra Sharma go? Could she reach top 40? It's a long way at the moment. 120 where she sits, 40. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. Our Australian female players have got talent. And the thing I did like about Astra during the week is she dug deep. Because on clay, you've got to earn the points, don't you? You've got to fight and scrap and play, you know, 20-point rallies at times. It's not easy to win on the clay. And she had some moments where I couldn't look. I was that nervous watching Astra play. And then she'd get into a magnificent groove. The kick serve is a huge advantage that she has. If you can get 3 points off your serve, which Ash Barty can do serving in double figures, you can actually go somewhere in this game. So that's the point of difference where Astra might be able to get a bit of an edge. I just want to see her at least consolidate inside the top 100. She got to 85. Let's get back there first, and then we'll see what happens. I think 40 is a big stretch right now. A quick break. Plenty to come. The First Serve, your home of tennis. All thanks to Hume Tennis and Community Centre. It's one of Australia's premier tournament and training venues. Just 15 minutes from Melbourne Airport, 16 ITF-sized courts and accommodation available. A mini Melbourne park. It's ideal for the travelling coaching groups and families. Check out humetennis.com.au.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen. A quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back to the First Serve Monday night. Brett Phillips in the chair. 1-300-736-736 or on the Tennis Direct text 0433 98 11 16. Special guest coming up in just a moment, but Karen in Sunshine first. Welcome, Karen.
Hi there. I'm just wondering if you know where Ash Barty is at the moment. I know she won Miami and went down to South Carolina.
She's in Stuttgart. She's caught the Learjet and she has got the bye in the first round of Stuttgart, and she will definitely play a German. That is absolutely certain, Karen. As I scramble through, I brought a tree in here tonight. Here we go. She will play either Laura Siegemund or Mona Bartel, who is the qualifier who got through. So that'll be Ash Barty's opponent in the second round. I'm just looking down the field. It's a good field too. Halep, Kennan, Svitolina, Sabalenka, Pliskova, Kvitova and Bencic. So that's a pretty strong field for Stuttgart. WTA 500. So the program from here, Ash will play Stuttgart. She'll play Madrid. Likely Rome and then into Roland Garros. Karen, how do you reckon she'll go?
I reckon she'll win. She'll definitely win the French.
Definitely win the French. I like the confidence.
Which one last year?
Well, 2 years ago. Yeah. 2019. Yeah, didn't get back to defend her title last year, but she'll love getting back to Roland Garros. And let's hope by that stage, end of May, some crowds can come through and cheer on the players. Thank you, Karen. Always great to have you on the show. We mentioned last week the Australian Junior Clay Court Championships, which are held up in Canberra. The under-12s, the under-14s. I am told the best spoken when she received her trophy was my next guest tonight, Talia Kokkinas. She's from Queensland, just 12 years of age. She claimed the under-12 Australian Junior Clay Court Championship title in the final, 6-3, 6-1. Talia, it's great to have you making your debut on the First Serve.
Thank you.
What a thrill to win a trophy last week. Tell us about your week in Canberra.
Oh, so it was very memorable. At the start, we actually didn't think we were going to play the Nationals because of quarantining and COVID and everything like that and border restrictions.
Yep.
So I was always sad and everything, thinking that I wasn't going to go to the Nationals. And then on the last day, we ended up realizing that it was actually on, and that Queenslanders were allowed to go, so I was very excited. But we had just recently cancelled our flights, so then we had to drive there, and our car wasn't 100% because our engine wasn't, it was overheating, so we weren't even sure we were going to make it there. And then, well, at the end, we somehow made it there, which was great, and then I went to Canberra, and it was amazing. I really enjoyed the atmosphere there.
Wow, what a journey.
The people there were very nice, yeah. And I was able to come with my whole family. Felt like home there. It was really great. And then all the people I played throughout the tournament were very good players. They were, I found them very respectful and like great sports. And they're people I've actually never played before, so it was a great experience for me. And during my matches, I actually got an abdominal strain in my stomach. So I actually didn't know, people told me that I might not be able to play the tournament. So then I was very sore and I was somehow getting through my matches.
Well, I tell you what, border troubles, car troubles, abdominal troubles, and you've held the trophy. Fantastic.
Thank you.
That's amazing. You come from an incredibly talented tennis state in Queensland. Queensland keeps producing great talent. Can you give me a bit of an idea, Talia, of your journey? You're just 12. When did you first pick up a racket and love the great game that we all love and everyone listening in here tonight?
Oh, I was probably about 3 or 4 when I first picked up a racket. My inspiration was my dad. He was a great tennis coach, and we would just go out to a public court in Redland Bay and then just have a hit, and then I started enjoying it and became my life. And then from there I started enjoying it, and then my dad thought I had a special gift, so then he tried to pursue that, and he had a lot of faith in me, and every day he would just go out in the tennis court for hours and hours and trying to improve me. So I'm very thankful to have a gifted coach, because he made me the person I am today. So he's just a
great
inspiration.
Yeah, family's so important, isn't it? I mean, in an individual sport, those people around you, family, friends. You know, as you get into your tennis journey, there'll be more people that, you know, come aboard in coaching and the support staff. I mean, they're just so important, aren't they, Talia?
Yeah, they are. They're very important, actually. I play the sport because of that. Yeah. And my mum's also very amazing, and my brother and all my animals. Like, I just find my family really connects me in the game, and I do it for them.
Brilliant stuff. You're the third-ranked female born in 2008. So just give me a bit of an idea at the moment how you're combining tennis with an education. How does that all sort of work?
Well, I'm actually enjoying schoolwork, actually. So I find, like, growing up, I wasn't really used to it. I always found schoolwork difficult. But now I'm actually studying well and I'm enjoying school. So I feel like tennis actually helps you in schoolwork, too, in a way.
Yep.
So you kind of benefit from schoolwork by playing a sport. It's just good to have that combination of both education and physical activity.
Yep. No, brilliant stuff. So how many times are you sort of hitting in a week? How many times are you at on a tennis court?
Maybe 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes six, depending on the weather and what my plans are.
Yep. No, great
stuff.
Yeah,
and only about a few hours.
Give us a bit of a feel for your game too. I can't say I've set eyes on you. I wish there had been a live stream of Canberra last week, but give us a bit of a feel for the way you play.
I like going for my shots. Always trying to take the first attack with my game. I like opening up patterns and varieties and moving my opponent around.
Yep.
The court.
I like the sound of that.
Thanks.
Who do you love watching? Do you watch much tennis on TV? I mean, it's hard not for all of us to admire a fellow Queenslander, in your case, Ash Barty.
Yeah, I love her. She's like a great idol, actually. She's a great, like, person on and off the court, and I really, like, respect her, and she's just amazing to, like, be around, and especially her mental toughness. Like, she's really strong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just amazing.
Do you like flying?
Like, on an aeroplane?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I enjoy that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask is if you do kick on, for Aussie players, there's a lot of flying around the world playing tennis. So you've got to like flying.
Yeah, I love flying. I like travelling. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a good combination. If you like flying, then tennis and you are going to have a happy partnership. Hey, great to have a chat to you. We're going to keep an eye on your name. We mentioned Cruz Hewitt winning the last week, the under-12s.
Yeah.
Charlie Camus from the ACT and Lily Taylor won the under-14, so there's some good talent. A lot of players have kicked on after winning the Clay Court Championships to go on and have great careers. So, Talia, beautifully spoken at the age of 12, and a pleasure to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me on the show too. It's a pleasure
to you. Talia Kakenis, I think she could come in and host next week. We might put a little follow-up call. Beautifully spoken, passionate. And I've got a photo of her in front of me here with the trophy last week that she lifted amongst three other great competitors. We'll take a break. Plenty more to come. Happy to take your calls. 1-300-736-736 or on the Tennis Direct text 0433-98-1116. Of course, you can order with Tennis Direct as you are listening to us tonight. Use that promo code FIRSTSERVE10. You'll get 10% off. Free delivery if you order over $150 worth. You're going a couple of rackets, fast delivery, great prices. TennisDirect.com.au.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis. At sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists. At glgcorp.com, the First Serve. Your home of tennis.
Certainly love having Sunbless sunscreens on board, GLG. Michael, you've said it beautifully. What a very well-spoken young sports person. Great to have Talia Kakenis, under-12, Australian Junior Clay Court Championship winner last week from the mighty tennis state of Queensland. They're doing a lot right up there currently with the world number one Ash Barty, who will be in Stuttgart this week. Much closer to home, the Tennis Victoria pennant season. This is hard-fought competition is about to get back underway, and there's some changes. And we told you about some of those changes at thefirstserve.com.au a few weeks ago. Tyler Crumholz is the competitions coordinator at Tennis Victoria. Tyler, it's great to have you making your debut on the First Serve.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, Brad. I'm sure it's not every day you have someone on to talk recreational tennis.
I'm liking the dulcet tones. So what's the background?
Yeah, I'm from the States. I moved here about 5.5 years ago, actually.
Where are you from?
From Minnesota. Nice. So really cold, north central, lots of indoor tennis.
Yeah, I bet. Tell us about the pennant season. I think it's all kicking off very shortly. I mean, 2021 is the 138th year of competition, so likely one of the oldest tennis leagues in the world. Just give us a feel for what's in store and some of the names that are going to be running around.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, pennant is one of probably the oldest competitions in the world. We're so excited to have it going again this year after missing last year. You know, it really could have been maybe the first year we've missed in the 138 years that it's been on. So, so we've got the season starting this weekend. We've made a big change kind of in response to COVID. So, you know, COVID being the big change agent that it is.
Yep.
We've decided that, if there's a lockdown during the season, that could wreak havoc on our regular singles 1 week, doubles the next format. So we're trialing out something different this year. We're going to try to have singles and doubles on the same weeks. So that's a big change for pennant players. We're looking forward to seeing how it goes, and we're looking forward to getting lots and lots of feedback after the season is over.
Yeah, no doubt. So mostly Melbourne based, but you also got teams from Geelong, Macedon, Kilmore to Rosebud, for those listening in Victoria who know their geography. So some very high level plays here. We're talking sort of grade one. I mean, I'm looking down Greg Jones, who played on the tour, who's been running around, one of Kooyong's favourites, Jai Corbett. Gee, I haven't seen that name for a little while, playing as well, and quite a few others. Young Amy Stevens, who I had the pleasure of interviewing at Kooyong last year, who's got a lot of talent.
That's right. Yeah, we have some really strong players playing. Andrew Whittington is another one you would definitely be familiar with, former AO doubles semifinalist. Who else? Lewis Miles is number one at Glenburn. That's the team that won a couple years ago. So, Glenburn is our returning men's grade one champ. And then Bumaris Lawn is our grade one champ from a couple years ago for the women's side. And they've got Monique Berry, still is their number one player. She's another young, up-and-coming, really, really strong player. On the women's side, we've also got a couple players that used to be, around 200 in the world. Pius Wangtachai, I'm not sure if you'd be familiar with her or your listeners would be. She's a former Fed Cup player for Thailand. Elisa Wyburn is also, right around 200 in the world, and she's a former UK player, now a coach in Melbourne. So, yeah, some really, really strong players. We're absolutely really looking forward to seeing the level of play out there again. It's an incredible level of talent that plays in this league. I think, you name any sort of Victorian-based top player, and they've probably played pennant in their past.
No doubt. Yeah, it's a great competition. Also, that Cruz Hewitt is going to be playing grade two as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, that's it's gonna be a challenge for him, that's for sure. But I'm sure he's more than up to it. So that's gonna be a really interesting one. I can't imagine there's too many 12-year-olds that have played at that grade two level before. It's really, really a strong level of play. It'll be really interesting to see how he goes. And I'm sure the teams will be looking forward to that challenge.
Great stuff. Tyler, how do we follow all the pennant news, which starts, as you say, this weekend, all the way through to the finals in August and September?
That's right. Well, follow Tennis Vic on the socials, so both Facebook, Instagram, and then also on our pennant website, on the Tennis Vic website.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we capture that. We might speak to a few of the competitors throughout the year as well. Hey, Tyler, really appreciate the update. Do you keep an eye on Minnesota? What would the temperature be in Minnesota right now, you reckon?
Oh, warmer than here, actually. They're coming in summer.
True.
So, yeah, they've had some good warm days, recently.
That is true. But we don't really have we haven't really had a cold winter. Last year, I didn't think it was that cold. So there's something going on down here in this part of the world. Tyler, thank you. We'll keep in touch.
Thanks very much, Brett. Appreciate it again.
Tyler Crumholz, Tennis Victoria Competitions Coordinator, pennant backers, outstanding. Just before the break, I just wanted to do a little Aussie stock take of Monte Carlo. We didn't get to this a little earlier. Alexei Popram qualified second round. My goodness, he should have won that match against Luca Pui. 3-1 up in the third. 79, so he's at career high ranking. Milman, frustrating day against Christian Garin. Very good clay quarter. went out in straight. Tomo, we know he wears his heart on his sleeve, Jordan Thompson. He was frustrated from first ball to last against Fabio Fornini, winning that one 3-3. So it's another level to go up against a couple of these guys. And Demonor out to first round to my man, Davidovich Fokina. Tight one, as always, with the Demons, 6-4, 7-6. So he's not firing on all cylinders, but he's not losing any ground with the way the rankings are at the moment. So he still sits inside that top 30. Going to get across to the UK next here on the First Serve.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back to the First Serve. Brett Phillips with you on this Monday night. Just a little mention, Thanasi Kokkinakis and how he's treading. So back-to-back quarterfinals on the ATP Challenger Tour. I've watched quite a few of his matches in the last couple of weeks. He's going okay. I think we should just be thankful that Thanasi is out on court at the moment. If he can just string some weeks together. So the Aussies are away now for a while, and I'm sure those quarterfinals will start turning into semis and turning into finals. He's better than a lot of the players in his field, but he's just getting more and more matches under his belt. So we'll keep an eye on Thanasi. Alexander Vukic made a quarterfinal of that tournament as well. A lot of our Aussie men are heading to Barcelona this week. Thompson up against Gasquet. Demonor's got the bye. We've got Milman and also Popren. Of course, he'll be in Belgrade over there in Serbia. Matty Ebden will play in Tallahassee in Florida this week, so he'll play the challenger there, also in the doubles, and quite a number of the Aussies heading to Rome. So Bolt, Kokkinakis, Vukic and Bernard Tomic. In fact, Dan Evans, just on that, the player that Bernard Tomic and his dad said wasn't good enough to be his practice partner. World number 26, semi-final of Monte Carlo. He is going very beautifully, Dan Evans. Let's get across to Josh Gablich from, of course, BT Sport over in London. Sports journalist. He's formerly worked at Fox Sports in Australia and in footy. He's going to be our eyes on the ground at Roland Garros at the end of May. Josh, great to have you on the First Serve.
Oh, great to hear from you again, Brett. How are you going tonight?
We are going beautifully over here, racing through an hour as we do, trying to fit the world of tennis into 1 hour. But you're much closer to the ground over in Europe. We might just start with Roland Garros. So we know the tournament has been pushed back a week, hoping that France can come out of the back end of this third lockdown in good nick and that crowd numbers can get to Roland Garros. So what's some of the latest news you're hearing on that front, Josh?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, I think a lot of people were surprised when the tournament was only pushed back by a week, given the circumstances in Paris and in France in general at the moment. They had 35,000 cases on Saturday and again on Sunday. So the situation there is not great. So I can't... Many don't expect them to have a lot of fans. We saw last year Nadal won that tournament with 1,000 people in the stands, and it was just quite... it wasn't what we expect, obviously. The world's changed in the past 12 months. But I think at this stage, they'll be lucky to have any fans in the stands, given their current situation. So that's where it sits at the moment. But they are hopeful. There's just been so much unrest in French politics in the last... really since the pandemic started, with the way they've dealt with everything in terms of COVID, and then the vaccination process has really been a blow for international sport, especially a major event like Roland Garros and the Tour de France, which is in a similar boat. So, yeah, that's where that sits at the moment. But fingers crossed, we'll see a lot more than 1,000 fans a day. But right now, the feeling is that they'll be lucky to have anyone there for the first day of the tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Josh with us, thanks to Yarra Tennis Coaching. Of course, Shane Scrutney's a beauty. YarraTennis.com.au. Give Shane a call, 0414 37 3586. Best coach in the business out there at Eaglemont Tennis Club. But Wimbledon, that's the other one. Where does Wimbledon sit right now? Because it was never going to be the case of them missing out 2 years in a row. But how's it looking, the situation in London?
Well, the situation in London is so much better than almost everywhere else in Europe, especially compared to Paris. So there's a lot of faith that they can have at least up to 50% capacity for this tournament. They're not going to go early and promise that, but they're planning on having 45,000 people to the semi-final stage of the Euros at Wembley. So that's 50% of what they can host. Boris Johnson's been out there and said that they could have 90,000 people, which seems crazy when you think there's no one at a Premier League game right now. So that seems a stretch. But I think the All England club are planning on having 30% as a minimum and rising. So that would be a great result if you could have any more than 30% this year.
We hope there are certainly crowds. It'll be very, very strange to see no crowds at Wimbledon. I've got to say I'm a little jealous. I've got to say not being able to go back to Wimbledon for this year, feet firmly planted on the ground here in Melbourne. I just wanted to ask you before I leave you, Josh, Ash Barty, I mean, we talk about her a lot and there's been, you know, certainly a lot of discussion around her holding on to the world number one ranking in the past 12 months. So what's the perspective and where you are over there on the other side of the world?
It's funny, Brett. Every time her name comes up at BT Sport, people have this scepticism around her status as the number one player in the world because of what she chose to do last year. And she wasn't alone. A lot of players missed out on tournaments given the health situation and the landscape of COVID. But given what Naomi Osaka did in the second half of the year, well, there are a lot of Brits over here, and we've got a few people from the States that we talk to quite a bit in the newsroom, and they think that the Barty doesn't deserve to have the number one. But what she went out and did in Miami a couple of weeks ago, beating four top 15 players and going all the way, I think really was a statement when you think about it. I loved how she addressed the questions after that tournament. I'm not sure if you heard how emphatic she was about it's all noise, you know, to her. She doesn't have anyone that she needs to go and prove a case to, but she made a really big statement there. And I'm looking forward to seeing her play in Stuttgart this week. I think the field there's a big test, especially on the clay. So it'd be a really good read to see how she's tracking heading into Paris.
No doubt. I mean, the reality is she's not going to win every week. The WTA Tour is too tough, but she is still the one to chase. Her game at its best is at its peak, very, very hard to deal with for a lot of the players on the tour. Josh, I just want a little, this is touching just a little bit tonight. We'll do a lot more in the build-up to Roland Garros. You're going to be on the ground for us in Paris this year, and we'll certainly keep in touch and keep an eye on all your work on BT Sport.
Thanks very much, Brett. I'll chat to you again soon.
Josh Gabelich joining us, formerly of Fox Sports here in Australia. I'm just going to bring in Jed Zetsen, my right-hand man here, because an Australian is off the radar playing over in Tunisia. A lot of rain in that part of the world, Jed, the last few days. But Alexandra Osborne has got a really interesting story. We'll tell this on Aussies Only in the next few weeks. She's just been playing in a doubles final on the ITF Tour.
Yeah, she has. And they actually won the title, Ali, together with Paige Hourigan, a Kiwi player, beating a Belgian duo, Chelsea Van Hoot and Magali Kempens. They won 4-1. Unfortunately, the Belgians withdrew with injury midway through the final.
Okay, so she follows us on Insta. We follow her, giving her a bit of publicity, because a lot of the players at that level are that far off the radar. But we're going to tell their stories on the first serve right throughout the year. Thank you, Jed. The ATP WTA World Rankings on Monday, as of Monday the 14th of June, will now be used to select eligible players for direct acceptance into the men's and women's singles and doubles for the Tokyo Olympics. So push back a week with a change of date to Roland Garros. So the Olympic tennis event will be 64 in singles, 32 teams in the doubles, 16 teams in the mixed event, each nation limited to a maximum of 6 men and 6 women. So all that to unfold over certainly the next couple of months. Thanks to our very good friends at ASTE, ASTE.com.au. They're Melbourne's leading synthetic grass court surface and construction specialists. We are just about done. How good was young Talia Kokkinas? We'll keep an eye on her, the under-12 clay court champion. She could almost come in and host the show next week. One of the most well-spoken young people we've ever had on this show. Keep an eye on our website throughout the week. Plenty of Aussies right around the globe on the clay now, building up to Roland Garros, thefirstserve.com.au. Keep an eye on all our socials as well throughout the week. We'll keep you updated with every Aussie that is playing and all the big news. We'll do it again next Monday night. Hit them well during the week. Stay safe.